Those were good musicians in Rome, pretty good musicians here too. Thank you. Well, when we hooked up pastor and congregation in 1975, I think it was by phone calls and slow mail. Today you just swipe right or left on candidates or something. I don't know how that's done. But anyway, I'm excited for that. And when I was in San Jose, before I came to have the privilege of serving here, I had a life encounter of the transforming kind during my pastoral duties there. It was profound when it happened, and I wrote it down, so I have it still. Upon arriving there, I was asked to call on a Mrs. Towner, a charter member. She was in a rest home. She had that Midwest austere about her, American Gothic. And of course, as I greeted and talked to her, I prayed with her. Not much interaction, but I came again. And then the third time I came to see her, she says, "I have a joke for you." And I asked her what, and she said, "It's this. A mother came up to a gentleman and said, 'Are you the man that saved my child from drowning?' He was a shy person, not giving to public exposure, and didn't want a lot of praise, so he scraped his feet in the sand, hung his head, and said, 'Well, yes, ma'am, I am the man.' And she said, 'Well, where's his cap?'" Well, from then on, once I saw that twinkling in Mrs. Towner's eye and shared that joke and a lot of stories with her, for instance, she said that at 16, she had rode her horse, Pepper, and to see her boyfriend, who later became her husband. She says she once wore a jaunty hat to church. She did some real living, gardening, singing, writing, traveling, loving, and learning. At that point, she says, "Of course, I no longer ride horses or wear jaunty hats. My husband has passed, but I noticed she still had that twinkle in her eye and stories of good advice for a young father and preacher." And I'm going to ask our scripture reader to come and read the scripture now that's going to lead us in to why I brought Mrs. Towner up this morning.
All right, the first scripture here is from Ecclesiastes. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Even those who live for many years should rejoice in them all, yet let them remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, young man, while you are young, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Follow the inclination of your heart and the desire of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Banish anxiety from your mind and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return with the rain, on the day when the guards of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and the women who grind cease working because they are few, and those who look through the windows see dimly. When the doors on the street are shut, and the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. When one is afraid of heights, and terrors are in the road, the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because all must go to their eternal home, and the mourners will go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, and the golden bowl is broken, and the pitcher is broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the breath returns to God who gave it." And the next scripture is Matthew 6, 27-29. "And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these." And the final scripture today is John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Now, Mrs. Towner, to my mind, was a true example of what the teacher of Ecclesiastes, the book of wisdom in our Bible, is giving us advice about. She is someone who heeded and lived this advice from the teacher of Ecclesiastes. And I want to make 2 points from the text we heard. First, in chapter 12, and then we'll go back to chapter 11, but in chapter 12, the teacher basically tells the pupil or anyone listening that he or she is mentoring, you better face the music. You better face the music. Here's reality. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to just gloss it over. Have no illusions about old age. And then the teacher goes through various metaphors, describing the decline of the body. And there are references to things out in the environment, but that happened to us. In verse 2, the sun and the moon and the stars are darkened. Vision fails. The guards of the house tremble, the columns, the knees. The women who grind cease working. Our teeth are decaying and breaking. When the doors of the street on the street are shut, deafness falls. The sound of grinding is low, indigestion. Rising up at the song of a bird, insomnia, bladder limitations. And then reference to almond trees that are blossoming, kind of like the ornamental pear trees in our area that get just all beautifully white. But it's referring to the head of white hair, huh, Fran? And the grasshopper, then I won't ask anybody about this, and the grasshopper dragging itself along. And in the Jewish Talmud, this was thought to mean the decline of sexual vitality. And it says, then desire fails. In other words, the teacher is telling all of us, face the music. And then the teacher goes into the source of life of water. The cistern is empty. The pitcher breaks. Without the precious life juices, the body is not possible. And the dust of the body returns to the earth as the breath of spirit returns to God who gave. Now, point one then is this. Let there be no illusions about older age. It's not to be avoided. It cannot be painted over. Jenny Craig and Sustacal cannot stop it or cure it. The surgeon can't stop it. Growth hormones and old age decline are not effective. It cannot be escaped except by premature death. And no one here this morning, young or old, is surprised at this. The Rolling Stones had it right. What a drag it is to get old. Now, what do we make of this? The ecclesiastical teacher's point in going on to this. Was he despondent? Was he morbid? Did he just allow a Barmore bummer to come to the congregation? No, I don't think so. The teacher strips away the illusions or the avoidances of old age in order to set the case forth that's in chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. Rejoice, O youth, in your youth. Live it, dig it, be mindful of it. Or as Marsha Ball, my favorite New Orleans, Austin, Texas singer, do it and do it now. Live while you're alive is the second point. Face the music and let it help you live while you're alive. Verse 9, rejoice, young person, while you are young, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Follow the inclination of your heart and the desire of your eyes, and know that for all these things, God will hold you to account. What does that mean? That's incredible. God expects us to enjoy our life, and if we do not, to the capability we have in our life, God holds us accountable. Jesus concurs. Jesus in Matthew points out the beauties that are around us and calls us to be aware of them. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I've come not just to give you life, but abundant life. The teacher calls us, motivates us, commands us all the more to now enjoy the light of the moon, the colors of the sunset, the tastiness of food, the sensualness of human touch, the marvels of art, the preciousness of children, the magnificence of love. And we can thank God and go for it with gusto right up to the checkered flag. The message of the teacher of Ecclesiastes and from the great teacher Jesus are expressed and echoed in lyrics of Irving Berlin. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they have asked us to pay the bill, while there is still a chance, let's face the music and dance. And I've got to say, yes, this is a message for youngins. Dig it while you're in it. I know I let too much slip by without really being aware. I know in my own life, I was too often a bit asleep at the wheel while some great life events were whizzing right by practically unnoticed. I was a pretty good dad, but when I was young, I wish I had paid a bit more attention to my children's activities and anxieties and achievements. And in a time of a gender role paradigm shift, which I lived through, I thought I was ahead of the curve. But I wish I had been more tuned in to my residual controlling male attitudes with the women in my life. I am glad that things went pretty well. Due in no small measure, of course, to this rhythm of worshiping week by week. People who attend their religious institution, place of worship, have a routine that guarantees every week there will be reflection, there will be inspiration, there will be course correction. There will be celebration. The faith community helps us evaluate, make course corrections, and celebrate. The point is, we oldies but goodies, like the teacher of Ecclesiastes, are urging you 20-somethings, you 30-somethings, 40-somethings, even 50-somethings, to be mindful of every day, to be grateful, to soak it in and go for it. And I just got to say, too, us oldies, this message applies for us, too. My friend Bob Bletcher, retired lawyer in Santa Barbara, got a couple years on me, but he sends things over the internet that people do. I don't know if anyone saw this, but it's a husband and wife. With exhilaration and gusto. And then it says, I am a teenager. That's a senior teenager. I have everything that I wanted as a teenager, only 60 years later. I don't have to go to school or work. I get an allowance every month. I have my own pad. I don't have a curfew. I have a driver's license in my own car. I have an ID that gets me into bars. The people I hang around with are not scared of getting pregnant, and I don't have acne. Life is great. I have more friends I should send this to, but I can't remember their names right now. Let us rejoice, oldies. We're younger today than we will be tomorrow. I'm younger at 81 than I will be at 82 if I get there. So I am a young one too, and so are you. We need to go for it because we're in the relative youth of our life compared to the day after to the next. So rejoice, relatively youthful senior citizens, and let your heart cheer you in these days. Follow the inclinations of your heart as you're able and the desires of your soul with a modicum of prudence. Sure, face the music, the difficult stuff, but God's counting on your exuberance to whatever degree is possible to express your gratitude. As we go for facing the music, let's keep it on going, folks. And I just have to say one more thing, typical preacher statement. Fairview Community Church. It seems at times, using the images of Ecclesiastes, the guards of the house are trembling. The doors to the street are bringing in very few new guests. The sound of grinding is low, grumbling in the church. Almond blossom gray heads predominating. The well is going dry. And we in old age, are we in old age as a church? Have we no more power to rejoice in youth and activity and energy? Well, listen to this, folks. I don't have all the details exactly right, but I do know that this congregation was formed in the 50s in an American Legion hall, of which the windows had to be open to try to get the smoke out. The beer boxes were built up to be a pulpit, and that's how things got started. And then a man who built this College Park area brought this land to build a church on, and the people had the vision to do it, and it began to grow. And then in the 1960s, the way I understand it, two leadership couples decided to switch partners. That's not good for the health of the church, and things were in trouble and looked like the house was trembling and gonna fall. In the 70s and 80s, and I was part of this, we began to put pews in the balcony. We were strong enough then, and about six of them, so we wouldn't look so empty here. And I went with a new member of our congregation who was a church growth and finance expert, and we talked to two other congregations about the possibility of merging because we did not seem to be able to make it. Our pillars were trembling here. In the 2000s, when the church ended up being packed in the side and around and 120 or so people in worship, the pastor decides to retire. And the replacement pastor who came in after a year turned out to be divisive and with very serious anger issues. And everything seemed to fall apart again. And beloved, every time Fairview Community Church felt old, felt infirm, felt dying, the God of renewal brought new strength to the established congregants, waves of younger people, couples, and singles joining the church that they were so glad to find and they didn't even realize it existed. The young, untested pastor and prophet was eventually brought in with a vision for charging up the church in a changing world, blessed old souls and young hearts both. And wow, last Sunday, as Mike has intimated, I came into that annual meeting not knowing what was going to happen. Maybe Jim was going to play taps and we close it all up. And instead, it was charge. Such a great report and such wonderful leaders, young and old, and I was exhilarated, and as we all were, uplifting and ready to go. True, we don't know for sure that FCC, along a beacon of faith with freedom, faith with intelligence, faith with compassion, faith with celebration, will survive and thrive. No one knows. Just like the ecclesiastical analysts and our denominations don't know how to predict the form that the 21st century surviving faith communities will take. However, I simply call folks at FCC now to dig it while we've got it. What an awesome music presentation this morning by talented people. What marvelous people we have in worship and have been in worship. What a building we come into. What a thoughtful message and wise counsel we have in our interim pastor. What fantastic musicians bringing soul satisfaction. Beloved, we'll face the music in life and in church, but before the fiddlers have fled and before we're called to pay the bill, while there is still a chance, let's be together and dance.